Good evening, Tanner Church of Christ. It's good to be here in front of you. Robert asked me this morning if I could preach, and the sermon I'm going to do tonight is on Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, the barren fig tree. And I had talked to Henry a few days ago about this lesson, and he said, I want you to preach this sermon on Sunday morning sometime. Well, it ain't Sunday morning, Sunday night, but I'm going to preach it anyway. And the good news is that I told several of you I only had a bowl of cereal for lunch today, so my belly's already growling, so I probably won't be too long. But now Gary back there told me that after 30 minutes, if I was still preaching, that he would jump up and say amen, so whoever's next to Gary is going to have to wake him up so he can say amen. Otherwise, I'm liable to keep going. But it's always a privilege and an honor to be asked to preach from this pulpit. And I'm going to try my best to rightly discern the Word of God. Now, the story of the parable of the barren fig tree is found in Luke chapter 13. Verses 6 through 9. But before we talk about this parable, I want to take just a few minutes to talk about something that Jesus addressed before he spoke this parable. Starting in verse 1, he said, there were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, there's not any biblical reference about this, historical references seemed to say that these Galileans were worshiping, and for some reason Pilate had decided to slaughter these people. And perhaps that's what these people are talking about, is the people that had been killed while offering the sacrifice. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Verse 3, he says, I tell you nothing, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, and think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Do you get the feeling that Jesus placed a lot of emphasis on repentance? Here, he says it twice. Repent, or ye shall all likewise perish. Now, these people perhaps had the perception that the people that had suffered these tragedies had a great sin that caused the tragedy. And Jesus corrected this for them. What he told them was that any sin, unrepentant, now Matthew chapter 3 verse 8, John the Baptist told the Sadducees and the Pharisees when they come to where he was baptized, he said, oh ye brood of vipers, who told you in wrath, produce you fruits worthy of repentance. And in Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, Paul used those same words when he was before King Agrippa. He said, I had been to Damascus, through the coast of, through Jerusalem. I've been preaching to the Gentiles, and the message was to produce repentance, works of fruits of repentance, worthy of repentance. So this parable of the barren fig tree is a parable that teaches us that God expects fruit from us. Perhaps one of the fruits that we have is the fruits of repentance. How do people know that you've repented? You can tell by the things they do. You know, we go into the jail, Stan and I, Brother Eckert and I and all that go into the jail, sometimes you'll see somebody there and you'll baptize them, and they're all gung-ho. They're going to get out of there. They're going to live a life for God. You know, I repented of my sins. You go back 3 months later, and who do you see? That very same person. So the Bible tells us clearly that we are to produce fruit worthy of repentance. And if we do that, people will know that we have truly repented of our sins. Now, let me read this parable for you. Starting in verse 6, he said, "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" In other words, this unfruitful tree, this unfruitful fig tree was doing nothing but taking up space. Taking up a spot where a fruitful fig tree could be. And he answered and said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year also, that I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down." So what can we learn from this parable? You know, Jesus spoke this parable centuries ago. He was speaking to the children of Israel. A lot of the similarities in this parable are to the children of Israel, but they're also to us today. One being that God is the vineyard owner. And the vineyard, at that time, Jesus was talking to the Jews, but he's talking to us today as members of the church. And one thing we can learn from this parable is that this vineyard was a very special place to the vineyard owner. The church is a very special place to God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27 tells us that the church is the body of Christ. He said, "Husbands and wives, husbands, love your wife as Jesus loved the church and who gave himself for the church." That's us. God so loved us that he gave his son for us. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life willingly for the church. So, my question to you is, if God loved the church so much, if it was such a special place for him, if Jesus loved the church so much, why do we neglect the church? Do we take the church for granted? I think sometimes we do. Sometimes the church as a whole will never die. But what about our beautiful little congregation here at Tanner, Alabama? Would it die? Does it suffer from neglect? Are we all doing the works that are required of us? Because one thing about this parable, it's the vineyard owner returned back for 3 years. And he expected this fig tree to have fruit. Rightfully so. I don't know if any of you has ever planted a fig tree or an apple tree. I have a friend that told me about an apple tree that she planted. And she says that an apple tree or any tree, there's a saying that says the first year it sleeps, the second year it creeps, and the third year it leaps. So after you plant an apple tree, after you plant a fig tree, you expect after 3 years for it to bear fruit. And God rightly expects us to bear fruit. Turn with me to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. I'm getting there. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and none of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and notwithstanding, you gave them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath works, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. These verses tell us that faith by itself does not profit us anything. But who of us in our right mind would somebody come up to us naked and hungry, and we'd pat them on the back and say, go in peace. I hope everything works out good for you. Who of us would do that? None of us. So the message here is that God expects us to produce fruit. So the church is a special place to God, and we've been placed in the church. When we're baptized, the Bible teaches us that we're baptized into the body of Christ. Galatians 3:27 tells us that we're baptized into the body of Christ. And Acts chapter 3 tells us that on that day when they were baptized, that God added them to the church, such as should be saved. So, the fig tree was placed also in a special place, and that's us. Colossians 1:13 tells us that we've been translated out of darkness and placed into light, meaning when we've been baptized, we've been taken out of a world of darkness, a world of sin, a world of evil, and placed into something that is pure and good and holy. That is the body of Christ. That is the body of Christ. And we're expected to do good works. There's a reason why that we should produce good works. Being fruitful makes our election sure. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. 2 Peter 1:5-11. And beside this, give in all diligence, add to your faith virtue, into virtue knowledge, into knowledge temperance, into temperance patience, into patience godliness, into godliness brotherly kindness, into brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. For so entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the word diligence here appears twice. Now, what does diligence mean? That diligence means that you were striving earnestly to achieve a certain goal. That's what diligence means. And that's what these verses are telling us, that we strive to do these things so that we can go to heaven. Just as the verses in James chapter 2 tell us, these verses tell us also that we've got work to do if we want to go to heaven. Because these verses also say that he that ignores these things is blind and have forgotten and have returned back to their old days of sin. That's a powerful verse to me. That means that without striving to produce fruit in God's kingdom, it means that I would return back to my old ways. In other words, it's like, you didn't get baptized, you just got wet. But I find this verse very comforting, that if I strive to do these things, and if I diligently do these things, I can be assured of heaven. Don't y'all find that a comforting? But there's things I have to do. You know, a lot of these things here that Apostle Peter talks about reminds me of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 when he talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Meekness, gentleness, enduring one another with love. These are similar things. And these things don't happen by happenstance. These are things that we work on. You know, Robert had problems speaking this morning, but I hope everybody could hear his message clearly. And he talked about excuses. And how are we letting excuses keep us from doing the work of God? That's a very important message. And the message is the same here. Do we let excuses keep us from producing fruit? You know, sometimes I think that people have what I would call let somebody else do it, itis. Are we guilty of that sometimes, if we sit back and we know something needs to be done, but we say, oh, Gary over there, I'm sure he'll take care of it. Do we do that sometimes? Do we take it for granted that somebody else in our church is going to do the work of the church? This parable teaches us that we all have a responsibility to produce fruit. So that leads me to my next question. What would happen to Tanner Church of Christ if everybody was just like me? Would it grow? Would it flourish? Would it be a loving, kind, enduring church that stands up for the truth? Or would it be like the vine that Jesus talked about in John chapter 15? Would this church die on the vine if everybody was like just like me? What if everybody prayed like me? Would we die because we failed to pray for each other? We failed to pray for the church? What if everybody worshiped just like me? What would our worship be like? That's an important question for each and every one of us to ask ourselves. What would Tanner Church of Christ be like if everybody was just like me? One other thing that this parable teaches us, that we also have a responsibility to cultivate unfruitful members. You know, the owner went in there and he said, I've been waiting 3 years on this fig tree to bear fruit. The dresser said, give me another year and I will dung it, I will cultivate it. Do we do that for one another? You know, I'm not really sure if the 3 years in this parable means anything, but perhaps it does. You know, Jesus preached on the earth for 3 years, looking for fruit of repentance from the nation of Israel. But he didn't see it. So we need to know also that the unfruitful will at some point be cut off and cast down. But the 1 year grace period teaches us that God doesn't want anyone to perish. That's what he said in 1 Peter chapter 3. That God will that no one should perish. But that time will run out. The time for us to decide to become fruitful is now. Because when it's cut down, that's too late. So I want to close just talking about for just a minute what it is that makes us. I like the other microphone better. Just what it is that makes us unfruitful members of the body of Christ. Are we unfruitful members because instead of walking in the fruit of the Spirit, we walk in the fruit of the works of the flesh? Do we refuse to give up those things that bring us worldly pleasure? I was talking in our Sunday afternoon class, and I did a lesson on the refiner's fire and how that we are refined through hardships. And you know, God compares us being refined to being refined like gold and silver. 417 times in the Bible, there's some kind of reference to us being refined, tested, or tried. But it said in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29, God said that the refiner's effort was in vain. And it was because that gold and silver, even through this process, could not give up their impurities. Are we that way? Does that happen to us? Is that why we become unfruitful? Because we refuse to let go of the things that make us impure? That's a question that only you can answer. But also, we become unfruitful by inactivity. We sit and let other people do things. We know it needs to be done, but we just don't do it. We leave it up to somebody else. We have an excuse. You know, Danny just a few weeks ago talked about the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. You know, Jesus said of them, he said, I would rather you be hot or cold. But instead, you're lukewarm, and I will spew you out of my mouth. It wasn't that they was bad. It wasn't that they was good. Their problem was they didn't do anything. And Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold. The words, I will spew thee out of my mouth, hits home with me. You see, several years ago, I was working. I was part of a crew building a plant, a power plant in Homestead, Florida. Now, down in South Florida, you know, here we've got, you know, spring, summer, winter, fall. They have four seasons. They have four seasons down there that's hot. Hotter, hottest, and gee, Monetti, it's hot. Hot in South Florida, even at night. Now, my crew had to work at night, but it was so hot down there that this company, they had a crew, all they did was fill up water coolers with fresh cold water. That's all they did. Traveled all day long. That's what they did at night. We didn't have that luxury. Now, we could find plenty of cold water, but sometimes you'd find one that had been neglected and forgotten. And it had sat in that hot Florida sun all day long. And so you would go and get you a cup, and you'd pour that water, and you'd drink it, and that tepid water would go down your throat and hit your stomach, and you would spew it back up. And I have the image in my mind of watching some of my coworkers do that and sat and doubled over and spewing this water back up, and I can see that image of in my mind of my Lord and Savior spewing me up like that. So let's not be guilty of being unfruitful. Let's not be guilty of being lukewarm. Because 2 Peter 3 verses 9 through 11 also tells us that the judgment of God is not hasty. God gives us time to repent, but it is certain. So be fruitful, and you can inherit its salvation. So if you're here tonight, and you realize that you haven't been a fruitful member of the Lord's vineyard, come forward tonight, and we'll make that right. If you haven't been baptized, if you haven't been added to the body of Christ and into the church, now is the time to make that right. So come forward as we stand and sing.